Yes, morning everyone. Monday, April 22, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. Hope you had a fantastic weekend and a big week ahead of us. Of course, Anzac Day on Thursday and just an array of sport coming up later in the week. Gee, a lot of results to get through from overnight as well, from overseas. And yesterday, well, there were two blowouts, really. The Cronulla Sharks just obliterated the Cowboys, who were just abysmal, 42-6. Canterbury beat Newcastle. A lot of fallout from this game, 36-12. They're at a core stadium. The Swans, they really reaffirmed their premiership credentials yesterday for this season as well at the SCG with a 53-point victory over the Gold Coast Suns in Brody Grundy's 200th game. We had the Supercars. It was a great return to New Zealand there yesterday. Triple Eight dominating the second race of the weekend. Formula One, more grief for Daniel Ricciardo. We had A-League W semi-finals. We've got 1 week left in the A-League before, in the men's, before the finals there as well. And gee, I'll tell you what, the boxing yesterday wasn't that entertaining for those who got a look of Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney, with Garcia, who didn't make weight, weighing nearly a kilo and a half over, so he doesn't get the title, but he won the war on the day, and he's some character. And that was an incredible performance over there in Brooklyn in New York. And Magic Time won the All-Aged on Saturday. Broadsiding won the Champagne. Overpass won the Quokka again. And we'll speak to Bjorn Baker this morning as well. And it's good to have Stewie Clark in with us. Loz is here. Fellas, morning. How's the weekend? Stewie, a bit more soccer yesterday. How's the body?
Morning, boys. Yeah, a little game of old man soccer yesterday. A bit sore and sorry, as you are after every day. But what about the footy? I was, the Mighty Sharks. I'm very excited. Got home, sat and got on the lounge there and they were pretty dominant. Look, I'm not a Bulldogs fan, but there's something about the Bulldogs. They've had a tough, I'm going to say, 10 years.
Yep.
And they're playing some good footy. So you've got to give Cameron Seraldo and Co. A tick of approval. A bit concerning, Kalen Ponga. He's got a hip pointer injury, but now he's got some sort of serious foot injury. Just watching highlights on the TV here, but it doesn't look like it's going to end particularly well for Kalen Ponga for the next few weeks. He looks like he's in a bit of trouble.
Loza, how are you?
Yeah, how's the morning, weekend? Stewie. Morning, Mido. Weekend was quiet. Didn't do a great deal. Watched a bit of football yesterday, and you're right, Stewie. Kalen Ponga, he didn't look great after the game, did he? No. Sitting in the sheds there, moon boot on, crutches. So that could be a terrible sign for the Newcastle Knights, because we saw what they were able to do last year on the back of a Kalen Ponga masterclass towards the end of the year, where he just went on his winning way and winning games for Newcastle and just played some wonderful football. But they were ordinary yesterday, you got to say. They were ordinary. But the Bulldogs, they've shown plenty, I reckon, this year. They've improved every game. Their style of play is starting to develop. Defensively, they're a lot better. There was an incident in the tunnel with Jack Hetherington and Reid Marnie at the end of the game. I don't know. I saw some vision of it last night, and it looked as though Jack Hetherington must have known Reid Marnie and was laughing and looked like a bit of a G-up, but Marnie didn't take it like that.
I don't think it was. Still a bit hot-headed after getting Simbin. Yeah. Marnie comes up, shapes up. Then it was a decent shove, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a...
It was just a shove.
I wouldn't say go over the top shove, but it was. But when he was laughing, I just assumed that it was they were mates, and there was a bit of
mucking
around.
Something happened on the field as well. There was a bit of
a bit of verbal, a bit of pushing and
waving, and a bit of laughing.
Yeah. But he might get fined for that, Jack. I'd say.
Yeah, you can't have a stoush after that.
No, you can't. You can't do that. But I mean, but it was a push. It wasn't a punch. Things calmed down pretty quickly. But the Sharks were very impressive against the Cowboys side, who was so disappointing again yesterday. They've got so much to give, the Cowboys.
Yeah, well, they're
defensively, they're
horrendous.
They're terrible, Stewie. Yeah, right. That's their problem at this stage. They've got all the attack in the world, but I'll tell you what, I can't see them winning the comp if that's what they're going to dish up. And I can't see the improvement in their defence at the moment. So you still look at it, and there's a couple of sides there. You've got Manly, who are a dark horse.
Yep.
I thought the Warriors, and I'm still not jumping off the bandwagon of the Warriors, but on the weekend against the Dragons, I thought they were poor, but well done to the Dragons, because I thought they were very good. Yeah. And they'll give themselves a big chance this week on Anzac Day when they take on the Roosters. The Sharks are just a consistent footy team, aren't they? They do everything well. But again, I just wonder when they get to the big games at the end of the year whether they've got that next level to go to.
Yeah.
But Penrith and the Broncos, they just looked a bit the star. Reece Walsh, second game back from a broken cheekbone, just was in superb form. And the Raiders without Jamal Fogarty, that's a big loss. One player the Raiders could not lose, it was him. It was him. And it's going to be difficult now. And I don't know who will come in. They're talking about young Weeks coming in, but he's not a natural seven. And if you haven't got a natural seven, it's going to be difficult, because it's always hard to have makeshift sevens. And in particular, if you put Weeks and Strange together, they're two good players, but neither of them are halves, and they're very inexperienced at this level.
So he's got a torn bicep, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
3 months.
Yeah, so 3 months. They'll have to have surgery and reattach it and do all of that type of stuff. And
yeah, sometimes you can play without surgery.
Yeah, they'll do whatever.
But I suppose the long term.
Yeah.
Because some of them, if they don't get it done, they have that big divot. It looks like a big divot.
They lose a bit of. They do lose a bit of strength.
Yeah.
And, oh, mate, that'll be up to the doctors to work it out. But he's a loss. Like, he's a massive loss for their team.
Because I remember coaching Anthony Watmo in a State of Origin, and they said that he did the bicep. And I think he only missed 1 week, but he didn't get an operation.
Yeah, right. Taped it up and got on with it.
Just kept playing.
But, old school.
But I think he now has that.
Ah, right, okay.
That divot.
Yeah, right, okay. It's you're right. It's just important. There's not many seven. Like, it doesn't matter which team. You can't lose your seven. It doesn't matter. Not everyone's got three sitting in the sheds, have they? Oh, you know, I'll just bring in.
Well, no. They're hard to get.
Yeah.
So if you've got a good one sitting in reserve grade, someone will snap them up quickly.
Put him in first grade.
Yeah, so you just lose that experience, you lose the knowledge, you lose... The two things that they'll lose, one is his voice and his kicking game.
Yeah, right.
You know, and the direction that he gives the footy team. So now you're relying on a young seven to come in and give all those instructions, get a strong kicking game, and verbally be able to move the team around. It's just going to be hard for them.
Have we been sleeping on the Sharks, Lozza? I didn't have them in my eight, which is looking ridiculous.
Yeah, I didn't have them in my eight either.
Disappointing you, Bucks.
But again, I think they're a very good side. I haven't gone to sleep them in terms of winning a comp. I think they're very good. And I possibly should have had them in the top eight. If I'm looking at my top eight now, I definitely would have had the Sharks in it.
Well coached too.
Yeah, but I don't know what it is. I think they're like Melbourne of the last couple of years, where they're always consistent, but they'll get to those big games, and I just don't know whether they've got another level in them.
Origin chat's now going to be fever pitch for the next 5 weeks. And the Blues number 6 jersey is an interesting one, Loz. We know Cleary will be in the 7 jersey. Cody Walker's the incumbent. Hard to see that happening at the moment. Jerome Luai's obviously there as well. But now Nico Hines will be putting his hand up. I was on Channel 9 yesterday. I rewound it to go through what I heard Gus Feilgood say in commentary. And I was talking about Braden Trindle, and he said, there's a street corner tip for him for Origin, Braden Trindle. So, but you know, he's playing good footy, obviously. But
yeah, he's playing really good footy.
Everyone gets Trindle a mention for everyone.
Oh, yeah. I think I mentioned that on Friday. Like, you're not going to rule anyone in or out if you're Madge, because you'd be silly too. But what you can do is obviously look at their performances and look for players that are playing in winning teams and see whether you trust what they're doing on the field. And Trindle, he's playing some really good football. Now, I would have thought there'd be others in front of him, but I reckon he's developed nicely with his combination, and he's taking pressure off Nico Hines. Whether he'd be ready for State of Origin this season, I'm unsure. We've still got, another month or 5 weeks before State of Origin, so I'd reckon Madge will give Cody Walker an opportunity to try and find some form. Then you've got Jerome Luai there, who's been there before, and that Nathan Cleary factor.
And, of course, Mitch Moses is injured.
I wouldn't say Braden Trindall won't play State of Origin, but if you ask me where he sits at the moment, I think there's others in front of him, but the others in front of him aren't playing well. So if Madge is true to his word and he says, well, I'm going to pick on form, well, he'd be rocketing up the list.
Nico and Nathan together, though, Loz, it's too like for like, isn't it? Cleary and Hines, could you put them together in a halves combination?
Oh, look, I think you could put anyone together in a halves combination, but it's a short period of time. But one has to be the least dominant player. So you've got a dominant player, and then you're going to have a player that plays a secondary role. Whereas at their clubs, they're both the main focus.
And Nathan's going to be the dominant focus, without a doubt. Yeah. So you can't have... Yeah.
You're not... And then you throw, if you put Yo in there as well, you know, obviously it's a... Yo will be in the 17, but whether he starts or Cam Murray plays 13. But, you know, that combination, and I know people will say, well, it hasn't been successful for New South Wales, Yo and Cleary combination.
And Luai.
And Luai. It might be something they have to go back to. But I think we just look and see and wait, because there's a few options there for New South Wales, but it's just a matter of getting the right combination and having the players mentally ready to go against a Queensland side who I would never, ever disrespect or write them off, Queensland, but their forward pack is a little bit weakened without the likes of Tino and Gilbert, and they have unearthed players over the years, and they might have to again this year in their forward pack, but I just think those type of guys are going to be big losses for Queensland this year. And Ponga, he could be out for a period of time as well. Here we were last week talking about, oh, who do you pick, Ponga or Welsh? You mightn't have that choice now.
He does look like he's going. Just the footage we saw yesterday after the match and in the game, even his hip injury, that doesn't look right either. Like, he can hardly move side to side. He can't take off.
I couldn't believe they left him out there, to be fair.
I felt a bit sorry for him. Like, I get he's courageous and, you know, full credit to him for that type of, you know, courage, but he couldn't actually move. Like, they were just carrying him in the field, and basically he was catching bombs, taking three steps and getting tackled, and that was his only sort of interlude in the whole game, other than moving the defensive line around.
When they were saying afterwards, rare foot injury, I'm like, this doesn't sound good. You know, they're saying it's not a Liz Frank, but those type of injuries can
be out for a period of time. Yeah. It's a rare foot injury, I would think.
Some sort of
without being a doctor or a physio. And I've heard Adam O'Brien say it didn't look good. So he could be out for an extended period, Caleb.
And lots of fallout, particularly from that Dogs Knights game yesterday on the back pages of the papers. So the Telegraph, tunnel of shove, sin bin pair in off-field clash. And that, of course, is Jack Hetherington when he shaped up to Reid Marnie in the tunnel there after they were both sent to the sin bin late. So the incident is set to be investigated by the NRL, but let's hope they don't go over the top, Loz. Like you said, a little fine might do the trick there.
I think a fine would be enough, Middo. I don't think there'll be suspensions. The only reason I thought it may have been a little bit more serious than what it was the reaction of Reid Marnie. Because when I saw Jack jumping around and smile on his face, I thought they were mates, and I thought they must know each other, and it's a bit of a G-up in the tunnel. But then I saw Reid's reaction. I thought, oh, Jesus, there's a bit more to that than what I thought.
Bringing the game into disrepute.
Yeah. All that jazz. Yeah. He's a bit mad, Jack, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
I think he's a bit more than a bit mad. I think he is mad. he seems to be like a bloke on the field, though. Jesus.
You'd love to play with him.
White line fever.
Mate. Yeah, no, good luck to him. I'm not going to cross him. Jesus.
Dogfight tensions high as Ponga limps off. That's the back page of the Herald. Number one worry. So the Queensland perspective on the back page of the Courier Mail. Maroon's injury crisis deepens as Ponga limps off. Well, this could solve not in the way they'd like, but the debate that was set to ramp up for weeks, what they're going to do with Caelan Ponga and Reece Walsh in that Origin side. Well, there's no doubt that Reece Walsh, if fit, will be the number one. I mean, seriously, that performance the other night, poor old Chevy Stewart, just one of those nights that they happen, don't they? But to the Raiders' credit, they could have done what the Cowboys did yesterday, and they didn't.
Oh, they could have turned it up for sure, but they didn't. I think they won the second half, the Raiders. Like most 18-year-olds, I wouldn't know of too many that haven't had a game like that. And I think everyone, regardless of your stature in the game, at some point in their career has had a game like that. So I wouldn't be too concerned because all the other things in his game are very good.
Yeah.
He's 18 years of age. He's going to make more mistakes as he goes along. But he's tough. He's a hard worker. He's got plenty of ability. And as long as that doesn't affect his confidence, this year, he's a long-term fullback for the Raiders.
I watched the press conferences. It's interesting to watch the press conferences. They must be the hardest thing in the world to do, those press conferences after the game. Especially if you're on the winning side, you sit there and, wax lyrical about everything, and then if you lost. But Ricky's, he's made that, it's all about the future, and he was actually surprisingly calm about the whole thing. I thought, he could have had a Ricky Stewart-style blow-up, but Matt, he was pretty positive about the whole thing.
Well, they're a young team, I think, a young team. But as I said before, one player they could ill afford to lose, I think, was Jamal. His experience at 7. They've got a lot of depth in other areas. They've got a lot of youth out wide. But it's just that 7 position which needs an experienced voice and an experienced player to be able to work your team around the field. And his kicking game has been on song this year. So, it's going to be tough to replace him.
Some Cowboys on the back page of the Courier Mail as well. Holy cow, what a sharker. That's the headline there. And on the back page of the Telegraph as well, Sam's living out a dream. And they were great scenes, weren't they, yesterday? The debutant, Sam Stonestreet, crossing on debut and right in front of his posse in the corner. I saw one bloke went crowd surfing straight over the top, head first into the ground as well. But it's awesome to see
dream.
There.
It's a dream for young kids. I listened to the commentary yesterday. As a youngster, he went in 2016 and saw his idols, and he's then got to live out his dream. So what a story that was. And it all came to fruition, as you said, in that corner where somehow all his fans, his relatives seemed to just it all happened, didn't it? So. Well done to him. He'll be living the dream. Big night at Northy last night, I would have thought. He would have snuck down there for a few beers and probably still had his gear on, just sort of wandered in.
Wouldn't have bought one, that's for sure. Sea Eagles and Schuster depart ways after 600K termination payout deals. Also on the back page of the City Morning Herald, Michael Chemis with this story in the Herald in the wake of the 34-30 victory over the Titans on the Gold Coast on Saturday night. Tom Trbojevic crossed for a double in that match, but just the situation in the background with Josh Schuster, this report saying that they've almost reached a termination agreement with Schuster that it'd be paid around $200,000 a year for the next 3 seasons, and that amount will count against their salary cap. And due to the unique nature of his contract, this article says that, Manly could have essentially sacked him, but with Schuster dealing with, personal issues, they're set to come to an agreement.
If you're a club, do you sign Josh Schuster?
Depends on how much, yeah.
That's the issue, Stewie. It's what some other club has to pay. But I like the way that Manly are handling it, because he has been through a lot. And there's some personal circumstances there that he went through with his best mate dying at the club. So I like the way they're being respectful. And hopefully they can come to an arrangement. And I hope that some club can pick him up and get the best out of him, because he's such a talent. But we've seen in the past, over the years, there's been a lot of players with talent that just haven't gone on. You've got to knuckle down. And part of your requirement as an NRL player is to be a professional. And if you want to be in the system, you want to earn money, you've got to knuckle down, you've got to train hard, and you've got to have the right attitude to get as far as you can go in the game.
There's some prerequisites to be a professional sports person. Yeah. And, look, I don't know the kid at all, never met him, but he's got to have the want to live to that standard. So hopefully he does. He's, as you said, I've... and watched him play on TV. He looks like he's got some talent.
No doubt about that.
I think another club will pick him up. They'll put some performance-based clauses in a contract. He'll naturally have his time off, but I can't see someone not picking him up.
He's too talented for
16
someone
other clubs
not...
that are going to...
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's having an outright termination, is he? So if he went to play at Parramatta, they wouldn't have to pay, you wouldn't imagine, Manly any money for him. So I think they're just terminating his agreement. Yeah, exactly. So he's a free agent to do what he wants and sign a new contract. There are 16 other clubs that'll sign him.
And the big story out of the weekend, I guess globally, on the back page of the Australian, West wants answers to drug positives. And on the back page as well, it's been on the back page of the Herald here, swimmers trust tested by Chinese drug saga. How about this story, fellas? So heading into the Tokyo Games, 23 out of the 30 Chinese swimmers tested positive for a banned substance. For 3 years, it's all just been swept under the carpet. It comes out now that WADA, the World Anti-Doping Authority, along with the Chinese Anti-Doping Authority, have accepted that they were accidentally contaminated and let them swim in Tokyo. When you think of what Shana Jack, Peter Boll, and others have gone through, and you hear this, oh, it's the Chinese, you were contaminated, all done very quickly from before the Tokyo Games so they could swim at the Tokyo Games. And it comes out 3 years later. I mean, has this got the biggest stench about it of all time?
Oh, most definitely it does. Oh. I mean, if that was happening here in Australia or in America, other countries would be blowing up a treat and wanting to know why or how this occurred. And the only thing you can take from that in my mind, is that it's a cover-up. Now, both sort of parties are denying that, and they're saying it's politically motivated. The Chinese are saying that, you know, they're trying to make all this up, and it might have happened, but it was contamination, and we've gone through the process of telling WADA, and WADA have agreed with us, but usually WADA don't agree to that type of stuff, do they?
Oh, it's just got...
You've got to go to court and you've got to go avenues to prove your innocence.
It's got a horrible stench about it. Come on, seriously.
If you're a swimmer now at the highest level, your faith in the game would be severely tested.
You're going into the Tour de France type school now, if this is the case. And I'm not talking current. Tour de France appears to clean itself up, but you go back to the 90s and you think about all the names that have... went through the Tour de France in the 90s, you know, starting with, obviously, Lance Armstrong. Mm. But you think about all those people.
Michelle Ford on our program a couple of weeks ago, and you know, she was talking about the East Germans when she was competing.
Yeah, correct.
Moscow and the regime that they were on and how big they were when they were lining up against them on the blocks.
And let's not sugarcoat this. This is not the first time that the Chinese swimmers have been
not
done
at all
anti-doping. It's not like they've gone, oh, God, this has never happened before. If you think back to, I think it's, I'm going to say, the 96 games.
Yeah, well, you had and you had the Sun Yang situation as well in more
recent
times.
I just remember those female swimmers.
Yeah, the ones
with the broad
shoulders.
I think that was the 98 World Championships. 98, I'm pretty sure.
It was in the
90s.
Remember
the photos of those girls, and I went, wow.
Is they training hard?
Yeah, unbelievably.